Good morning. Welcome. Thanks for joining us for the weekly press conference here at the Iowa State Fair. Let me just start by saying, after an unfortunate year last year with the bird flu, we're pleased to have poultry back at the Iowa State Fair this year, along with all the other exhibits. And we've got a tremendous turnout and exhibitors. I think it's an all-time record. Today, we're here at the Iowa State Fair in the heart of the fairgrounds, here at the Agriculture Building. And we're joined by Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds, Bill Northey, our Secretary of Agriculture, and John Weber, who's a farmer from Tama County, whose farm I visited as part of our water quality tour this year. Just steps away is the well-known butter cow. And I got the opportunity to go behind the scenes and see the butter cow from the backside this year for the first time. Also, of course, in this building, you have hard-boiled eggs on a stick. You've got ice cream. Just outside the building, you have the giant pumpkins and several blue ribbon 4-H and FFA entries here in this building. As attendees visit our world-famous Iowa State Fairgrounds, I hope that everyone will take time to appreciate the importance of agriculture to Iowa and how vital it is, and all the talented young people we have who have a real interest in being the future of agriculture. As we all know, agriculture is and has continued to be the backbone of the Iowa economy. In fact, one in six Iowa jobs depends on agriculture. Our farmers proudly feed and fuel the world. And every year there's new products that are being made from what we produce. This year we passed a biochemical tax credit. And we see the next generation after a byproduct from ethanol, and in addition to DDGs, which is great cattle feed and livestock feed, we see these biochemicals replacing petroleum-based chemicals, which is better for the environment and obviously creates jobs and additional demand for corn, which we so desperately need right now with this record corn crop and depressed corn prices. As leaders, the Lieutenant Governor and I believe it's important to work diligently to improve the water quality of our state. We're proud to work with Bill Northey, with our DNR Director Chuck Gipp, and with municipalities and farmers and agricultural groups all over the state of Iowa. Last session, I recommended a long-term, dedicated, reliable source of funding to address improving Iowa's water quality without raising taxes. This was the biggest and boldest recommendation I've ever made. We were pleased that the Iowa House of Representatives spent a lot of time and they passed a bill that went through three committees, Agriculture, Ways and Means, and Appropriations. It provides more funding. It actually provides over $700 million of funding between now and the year 2029, and it was approved by a bipartisan 65 votes, and we are encouraged about that. We think that should be the beginning point of what we do for water quality, but I'm hopeful that we can even go beyond that and provide an even longer-term, reliable source of funding. We know that big ideas like this oftentimes don't happen in just one session. We were pleased of the work the House did, disappointed the Senate didn't debate it. But just like this last year, the Senate did pass the biochemical tax credit, which had passed the House three times previously. And we have seen our ability to get things like the home-based Iowa bill or property tax relief, education reform done, oftentimes taking more than one session. In the past few months, Lieutenant Governor and I have made visiting facilities, communities, and farms all over the state of Iowa a priority to learn firsthand what's being done in water quality. We've been to 26 counties, and Mr. Weber's farm is one of them that I visited. We've seen firsthand more than 150 different organizations, over 9,400 farmers collaborating and working with municipalities on the state's water quality plan using our science-based nutrient reduction strategy. As we've crisscrossed the state to see these collaborative efforts, it's obvious everyone has a role to play in improving water quality. Within watersheds, local city leaders and landowners are working in collaboration to implement the best science-based practices through the nutrient reduction strategy to reduce nitrates and phosphorus. Later on, you will hear from John Weber, whose farm I visited in April, to learn more about the collaboration occurring in the Tama, Benton, and Miller Creek Water Quality Project, which also involves the city of Cedar Rapids. In addition to the Weber farm, we've visited other projects all over the state. We've actually seen a bioreactor being put in place. We've seen wet buffer strips. We've seen wetlands. We've seen the benefits of cover crops and no-till and many other practices that have been developed over the last several years. It's evident to me that water quality collaboration is occurring in all parts of the state of Iowa under different conditions, different soil types, and with different communities and farm organizations all being part of it. During the Iowa State Fair, I hope that all the attendees who come to this agriculture building will use it as an opportunity to learn more about water quality initiatives and to see how they can be part of the solution. And now I'm pleased to turn it over to Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds.
Well, good morning, and thank you, Governor Branstad. And it's always great to be at the Iowa State Fair, and it's a great opportunity for us to highlight the efforts being done for water quality. You know, Iowa is well known for its leadership in agriculture, and we are also recognized for our sense of community, our strong work ethic, and our neighbor-helping-neighbor mindset. You know, what I love about Iowans is we have a can-do spirit to find solutions to challenges by working together for the common good. And that's what we do every day. That's part of the very fabric of who we are as Iowans. It's exactly what's been occurring as we look at to the challenge of improving our water quality and reducing the amount of nitrates and phosphorus that are reaching the Gulf of Mexico by 45%. As we discuss this topic with hundreds of Iowans, I have had the opportunity, and the governor and I, to learn more about how land use is whether it's in the cities or it's in our farm fields or it's in our homes. We've been able to see how all of those efforts really align to improve water quality. And it's also been an opportunity for us to showcase the multiple conservation practices that are being implemented both in communities and farms all across the state, and for our farmers to highlight the great things that they're doing to improve water quality, both point and non-point pollution sources. According to researchers at Iowa State University, an average Iowa acre contains about 10,000 pounds of nitrogen in the organic matter. And when our soil is warm and wet, microbes transform nitrogen into nitrates, which is susceptible to the loss. And this is most common in both the spring and the late fall. Through water quality efforts in both urban and rural areas, we can take steps to prevent the nitrates from leaving our soil. So this display at the Agriculture Building is a great venue to learn more about the collaborative efforts that we can do to improve water quality. And I hope all of you get a chance to pick up a handout that really kind of outlines some of the things that are happening. And it really explains, again, how everyone has a role to play in improving our water quality. But, you know, it doesn't stop there. Later this week, the governor, the DNR director, Chuck Gipp, Secretary Northey, and myself will be recognizing 94 farm families who have proactively installed conservation practices to improve water quality on their farms, and they will be receiving the Iowa Farm Environmental Leader Award. So I'm proud to say, too, that this annual award has been given out since 2012, and more than 400 farm families have been recognized for proactively practicing conservation methods on their farm. As we look to the future of our state, I absolutely have no doubt that Iowans will continue to work together to find solutions to improve our water quality. So thanks for giving us the opportunity to highlight what's going on and what we're working on next. And now it is a great pleasure to bring to the podium our great Secretary of Ag, Secretary Northey, and he's going to update us on the investments in water quality through cost share programs within the Iowa Department of Agriculture. Bill?
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor, and thank you for your support and the governor's support of the Water Quality Initiative. It's a very important effort. I'm certainly very encouraged by the engagement of producers across the state, both rural and urban folks that are engaging in water quality efforts. As part of the Water Quality Initiative, we have 45 demonstration projects across the state in various forms that show the kinds of things that can improve water quality. 16 of those are in targeted watersheds where we're focusing on a specific watershed and the practices that can make improvements there. We have 7 that are focused on different types of uses and how to be able to improve maybe cover crops with seed corn producers or livestock producers, so focusing on specific practices. And then 22 are in urban areas where we have urban efforts like rain gardens and other kinds of efforts that show that we can have activity within our urban areas that will improve water quality as well, reducing that loss of nitrate and phosphorus from both rural and urban areas. As the governor mentioned, we have 150 partners in these projects across the state. These partners will provide over $19 million towards those watershed projects, and we have $12 million of state funding to match those $19 million of private funding. In addition to that, we're seeing other resources go to this as well. $16.7 million of USDA NRCS, Natural Resources Conservation Service, funding as well. Another key piece of this effort is our statewide initiative, and we have had that open the last month or so, where farmers can sign up for practices like cover crops, strip-till, no-till, nitrification inhibitors, other things that will make improvement in water quality. We offered that to folks this spring. We had sign up through recently and actually still encourage folks to go in. This year we have 1,920 farmers that have signed up out of our 98 of Iowa's counties to be a part of that program. They bring their own dollars to go with some state match. Those 900 of these farmers are brand new to this initiative. They're first-time users of these practices. We have 1,000 farmers that are doing a practice again, and we're providing cost share for some of that as well. Many of that around cover crops. That means $3.8 million is matched by nearly $6 million worth of farmer money to be able to get these practices on the ground. And although that money has fully been obligated, we encourage folks to be able to go into their local soil and water conservation district and sign up and ask about other programs, because we have other ways that folks can sign up and access some resources as well. So encourage folks to do that. This is the fourth year of that program. The previous 3 years, we have had 3,400 applicants that have been a part of that, 2,500 of those doing a practice for the very first time. $7.7 million worth of state dollars have gone into that, again matched by well over that amount in private funding that those farmers brought to the table. And that has occurred in all 99 counties of Iowa. And so we see this broadly being adopted across the state. It's also important to recognize that the efforts in water quality go well beyond that in our other programs that are out there as well. Other state, federal, local programs. We have a lot of farmers doing practices without any cost share at all as well. So we see a lot of engagement and increasing engagement at a time when, as the governor mentioned, we're in challenging financial times on the farms, we have more folks signed up as first-time users than we've had in previous years. So we're very pleased with that, to see the increasing engagement. It was mentioned at our Water Resources Coordinating Council earlier this month that there has been $350 million of state and federal dollars that have gone towards a water quality effort in the last year. So lots of dollars coming, many, many more dollars than that in private dollars as well. So lots of engagement across the state. We're excited with the progress. We're certainly appreciative of the work that our folks are doing within the Department of Agriculture and how broad we're seeing the engagement and how many more other organizations are becoming a part of this. So it's important for us to make sure that we recognize our folks in the countryside. One of those is John Weber, who will be our next speaker. As the governor mentioned, he was able to visit the farm and looked at a practice there. John is an example of many farmers across the state that are doing absolutely wonderful things out in the countryside and doing things new and different out there. So, John, would you come and share a few words, please?
You're focused.
Thank you, Secretary Northey. It's indeed a privilege to be here today to represent some of the people that have participated in Iowa's Nutrient Reduction Strategy. My name is John Weber. I farm in northern Tama County. My hometown is Dysart, Iowa. So I've had the opportunity to participate in a couple of different programs. We started out back in 2012 when the Nutrient Reduction Strategy was introduced, using cover crops, mainly on seed corn acres. Immediately saw the benefits of that. Increase in organic matter, which was always a concern with us growing seed corn. And then the following spring season, we no-tilled soybeans into the cover crops and saw the benefits of keeping the soil in place during some of these heavy rainfall events. So really became sold on the use of cover crops. So this fall will be our fifth year. Doing a significant amount. We'll be right at about 800 acres of cover crops this fall in our operation, and have learned each and every year and continue to learn. I think it's a learning process for a lot of farmers. The other opportunity I had on my farm was with the Tama-Benton Middle Cedar Watershed Project that my home farm happens to drain into. It's really the beginning source of the water that flows into the Cedar River, which feeds the community of Cedar Rapids. So we thought it was important to participate there as well, and so we took a look at installing a saturated buffer on tile lines that leave my farm and enter Rock Creek, which goes through my farm. It was a great opportunity to install one of these and to measure results, to hopefully see results from what the saturated buffer can do for water leaving our farm. And it's been a real learning experience there. It looks very, very promising. It's an economic practice that a lot of farmers, I think, can utilize and participate in. I was just telling Secretary Northey that I think there's a good chance we'll take a look at installing a second saturated buffer this fall on the same farm, having seen the results and knowing what the cost is to install it. But it's these kind of practices that I think farmers really need to take a look at, what they can do on their own farm. Another practice we've implemented here in the last 3 or 4 years is split applying our nitrogen. We used to be doing almost all of our nitrogen in the fall. We've gone to a program where we still do some in the fall, but at much lower rates, and then a large amount in the spring at lower rates, both of which are followed by an in-season application when the corn is ready to use the nitrogen. And I think we've seen some real benefits there, you know, not only from a water quality standpoint, but from just simply a farming efficiency standpoint, getting the most bang for your buck when the time is right. And certainly a lot less mental worry about heavy rainfall events after you've applied your nitrogen. Again, some of you might be familiar with me. I did come up through the Iowa Pork Producers Association. I served as president there in 2010. And certainly for Iowa's pork producers, water quality is front and center. If you're in the livestock industry today, you're impacted by a lot of the water quality efforts. And so we've done a couple of other things on our farm, comparing commercial fertilizer to swine manure, the different rates. And the farm that my saturated buffer is on is almost entirely fertilized with swine manure. So it really gives me an opportunity to see what's going on and what's happening. In the big picture, agriculture is starving for data. We need this kind of data desperately to defend what we're doing and to learn how to change what we're doing to make improvements in Iowa's water quality. So Iowa State University is collecting data on my saturated buffer, and you know, we do personally have access to that, and then it's compared to some of the other ones installed throughout the state. But we need to learn and we need to accumulate data, and this is not going to happen overnight. But I think this is one of the biggest benefits of this program, is that agriculture needs to show what it can do to improve Iowa's water quality. So with that, I think we're ready to
do questions.
Entertain questions. Yeah.
Okay, questions on this subject first. Yes, you mentioned data. Yes. Absolutely. Farmers want to have that data, and we're Iowa State University plays a key role in it. I've also visited some of the experimental farms that Iowa State has, where they're getting data from that, as well as from individual farmers. And also we're working with the flood center. At the University of Iowa, and there's a grant from HUD that's been received, I think, for what, 9 watersheds in the city of Coralville, Dubuque, and Storm Lake. And so you've got both Iowa State University and the Flood Center that can help us with the data. But that's really important. We want to have that. Farmers want that, because that's how you can see what works. The other point that I would make with our strategy, we believe that just as farming practice has changed dramatically over the last few decades, they'll change even more in the future, but it needs to be data-driven. So we see what works, and then we gravitate towards those kind of practices. It's just like putting the nitrogen on, not all at once in the fall, but putting it on different times throughout the year, especially during the growing season, the cover crops helping prevent erosion. All of those are things that we have seen have worked. Now, we need to get as much data as possible so farmers can make the best decisions. And we need to make sure that we provide a long-term reliable source of funding so the resources are there to match what's being done by the farmers and the municipalities.
The one thing I'm going to add to that, too, is this is an opportunity for entrepreneurs and small businesses like Ag Solver to really step up, and the private sector has a role to play in this, too, to work with our farmers individually and on the aggregate look at the overall data and what we're doing to provide water quality through conservation practices. So it's a great win-win for everybody. This is an opportunity for small business entrepreneurs to step up. They're working at Iowa State. They're starting with the demo through the Demolition Fund. And there is another opportunity as we collectively move forward to find the kind of data we need, provide the transparency that we need also to get the to highlight the good things that are happening and the results that we're getting.
Some of the funding does go to Iowa State University for those purposes. And as we ramp it up, there'll be more. You know, there will be more funding available for that as well as for other practices. So, you know, we think this is, and I think Mr. Weber pointed this out, this is a long-term commitment. And what we're trying to do, and the one criticism I hear is we need a long-term reliable source of funding. because right now we have more farmers that want to install these practices than we have cost-sharing money to meet the need. So that's what we're trying to do with this long-term water quality initiative. Other questions? Fair food, a pork chop on a stick. Okay. Absolutely, my favorite.
Now I have a new one you've got to try. I love pork chop on a stick. I've had that. But Chuckie's Tenderloin is also one you should not miss. They're from DeWitt. They're awesome. A lot of other good foods, too.
You notice they're both pork products. And we are the leading pork producing state.
They're awesome. Yeah.
Okay.
Question about the poultry industry and being able to have them back, certainly back here at the fair, which is great. So about a year ago, or June of a year ago, is when our last case of avian influenza was here in Iowa. We're very glad to be able to have almost all the pork or almost all the poultry producers back to full operation. We'd have a few of the egg laying operations that are still putting in birds, but all the turkey operations are back. All the egg laying operations have some birds back in. Most, the rest will be filled by the end of this year. So we're excited that we didn't have avian influenza this year, that we had a large number of poultry at most of our county fairs here at the state fair, and we're back in full business in the poultry side. We are still number one in egg production. We're back to about 55 million layers. The number two state is about 30 million layers, so we're well back to number one in egg production.
Go ahead.
Question was, any fear of it coming back? And there is always vigilance to make sure that we would do everything we can to prevent it from coming into any of our livestock operations. So often we call that biosecurity, making sure that the disease hasn't come into the operations. Most of our producers have invested a large amount of money trying to make sure that there is no way that it comes in on trucks or feed trucks or people. And so there's a lot of effort there. And that we find it if it does and control the spread of it before that it would move around. So there is always that concern, and concern about any other diseases out there, even in other species. So it's something that I know every homeowner thinks about and their own family. Is certainly something every livestock producer and poultry producer in Iowa thinks about.
One other item I should mention in terms of food at the fair, ice cream right over there. They have tremendous ice cream here, so you shouldn't leave this building without getting some of that.
Our grandkids definitely did not. They got some just the other day, so.
There's a lot of great food, a lot of great vendors here at the fair.
Twice.
I haven't. Although when we had the governor's conference here, my grandchildren went on the what do you call the
mouse?
The glider. Sky glider. They went on it three times. They had to keep getting the different adults to take them on the sky glider. But there's a lot of fun things to do here for people of all ages. Other questions? Yeah. How optimistic am I that we can get a long-term funding for water quality in the next year or so? I'm optimistic, and I would point to a number of big projects we've taken on. Property tax relief, education reform, health and wellness plan. We did those in 2013. 2014, we were able to get to Home Base Iowa. This past year, we got the biochemical tax credit. The House of Representatives spent a lot of time and passed the bill through three committees. We think it's a good bill. We think that's a great start, and it provides over $700 million in funding between now and 2029. So I'm very hopeful that we can build off of that and get that bill through both houses and maybe even provide funding beyond 2029 as well. So, yes, I am optimistic. It's our top priority. The Lieutenant Governor and I have been traveling the state to learn as much as we can so we can be strong advocates for what needs to be done, and I'm very hopeful. And we're also seeing a number of legislators that are coming to those. When we send out our schedule, we invite legislators to join us, and we've had many legislators come out to these various sites that we've visited.
Education.
Right. Yeah. So a lot of it is, a lot of people, we find the same thing in industry.
Yeah.
People are not aware of how efficient and technologically driven manufacturing is today. Well, we find the same thing in agriculture.
Right.
It's not the way it was when I was growing up in the 60s. You know, you used to think you were a good farmer if you plowed the, and when you got done, it was black. No, you don't want that anymore. In fact, we're going to no-till more and more, and then cover crops, and then bioreactors, wet buffer strips. It goes on and on and on with these practices that have shown to be better. And just even the nitrogen inhibitors, and then when you put on the nitrogen. And also GPS has made it possible for through precision farming to put on only as much fertilizer as you need at the right time in the right place. So we've come a long ways, but we're not done. We've got a lot more to do, and we need this long-term reliable source of funding so we can continue to build, and the state can do its part in partnering with the municipalities and with the producers. Well, have a great time at the State Fair.